plaguing our world today, it is time for discernment. So here we are, and we are
Issachar.
It is time for some discernment. At the end of the last episode, I told you we were going to expand and dive deeper into the roots of Israel and who Israel actually is. However, the Spirit put the brakes on that and directed me to explain a little more about the end of the world, the times that everyone right now is fearing the most. So let's get into the end of the world. The end of the world, it's not going to happen in our lifetime, not until 1,000 years after the second coming of Christ. From the time that I was born, the end of the world was coming. This sort of fear-based control has been used on all of us. So many things that you have been told are so far from reality. And this has caused so many to choose a path away from the truth. Fear should never be used to explain the scenario of the end of our world. As a believer, it is up to each of us to understand and discern the times. If you are a believer, your focus should be on the scripture to answer the questions that you might have about all things related to the return of Jesus and the end of this world. It is very unsettling to witness a lack of understanding concerning these things. This is why we are talking about them here. Let's take a deep dive into reality. I feel that it's important to start here, Matthew 24:36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Also, Matthew 24:44. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Matthew 24:44. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, also, we should never fear the second coming of Jesus. He is the redemption, and he died on the cross to free us from punishment because of our sins.
John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
It is truly evident our understanding of time through the eyes of God is not so good. It is hard to wrap your head around the idea of what, or more so, who is God? I've spent countless hours on this question alone. The funny thing is, I test the Spirit every day. To truly understand someone, you must dig deep into the mind and character of that person. The same is true with God. So, before we can find true answers, we must spend the time asking many questions. I feel that it is important that we look at how we look at things a little closer. In 1 Peter, we are told this.
1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
I think that's very interesting. What do they say grace is? In Christian belief, the free and unmerited favor of God, as manifested in the salvation of sinners, and the bestowal of blessings. You know, I feel that many people misunderstand grace, and that they are banking on this to get them into heaven. We will look deeper into this in another episode. With that being said, I would like to tell you that we do have a promise of His second coming, and that you should joyfully await this spectacular event to unfold before our very eyes. In Hebrews, it tells us we eagerly wait for Him.
Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
So, why are so many so fearful of His return? You need to ask yourself this question. You know, the Bible even tells us how He will return. Let's look at that closer.
Acts 1:10-11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. And then there's also 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
It seems very clear from that scripture that those of you awaiting the rapture before the tribulation, you might want to re-examine the way you are looking at the time of His return. We also think that you should think more about the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew to help you understand why you should be ready at all times.
Matthew 25:1-13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
So before we go any further here, let's look at a few other verses that expand on this just a little bit further.
John 5:28-29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And then there's Matthew 25:31-34. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And finally, in Matthew 24:42-44, Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
So it sure is clear, the ones that are ready and hear his call will be blessed.
1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Who doth will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God.
So now let's look at his second coming from the book of Revelations.
Revelation 20:11-15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
So let's not be rushed or even provoked, and find the patience we need, so we will not be fooled by the wonders to come. Let's read James 5:7.
James 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain.
Before we carry on, there's three other verses that we should read. Let's listen to these verses.
Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then we have 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Then finally we have Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast thou which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
Now let's take just a moment and examine why it is so important that you recognize the times that you are in and what happens to the individuals that decide, no, I'm not taking your mark.
Revelation 20:4-6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Now it's clear from what we just read that the first resurrection is when Jesus returns. And the ones that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, shall reign with him 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. That talks about the millennial reign, and we're going to get deeper into a specific episode on the millennial reign at a later time. But at this point in time, and the age that we are living in, what should we be looking for? One of the things that we should be looking for is the two witnesses from Revelation chapter 11. Let's read chapter 11 in Revelation and understand what is actually going to happen as the two witnesses come out and stand up and start preaching.
Revelation 11, 1 through 15. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city they shall tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
Also, it's important to note that the restrainer must be removed. Let's read 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7.
2 Thessalonians 2, 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way.
Then, this is when we will see the Antichrist. Let's read 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8.
2 Thessalonians 2, 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
It's also important that we understand, reading from 1 John.
1 John 4:3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world.
That's right. The spirit of Antichrist has been around us since the beginning of time. You know, we've really got to understand that. And it's more so important to understand in Ephesians 6, it talks about that we fight and wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we fight against the spirit. And that is so important for people to understand so they can come to a loving heart. And let's take it even further to the cross. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, he told us, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." So we have to understand, we are seeing a great falling away take place in our world currently, as we've never witnessed before. And the big thing is, all of this must happen before the end of the world. Let's remember that. Before we go any further, we're going to take a few moments and read a few verses to just put some weight on this conversation and understanding that needs to be put out in the world at this time. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Then let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Even him who is coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And also let's jump to verses 29 and 30 and read those. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Now I want to give you two more verses that expand and help you understand who the Antichrist is just a little bit better.
Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. And finally, Revelation 13:7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And here's a bonus verse to help you understand. Daniel 11:21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries.
Now, before we wrap this up, it's critical that we understand the mark of the beast. We should definitely be looking for this and understand that you will not take this mark out of the blue. You will have to know what you are taking at the time of this mark. It's known as the mark of the beast, and we can read more about it, and we are going to cover just a few verses about the mark. Let's start in Revelation chapter 13.
Revelation 13:16-17. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. Now let's go down to Revelation 14:9-11 and read. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. And finally, we're going to end our scripture reading with Revelation 16:2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image.
As you can see in today's episode, we've laid out several things that helps you identify who this person is that's known as the Antichrist, and the things that we should be looking for to identify the times that we truly are in. So yes, as we speak, we are witnessing signs in the heavens that we should actually be aware of and take notice. This eclipse and the eclipses before this, and everybody probably already understands the symbolism of the A that these events formed across the United States. It might be a sign. We are in an election year. It is the sign of Jonah. And if we repent and we turn our ways back towards him, maybe those things that we're so worried about might not have to happen at all. Now for the ending. Even though we will go through many things that might seem to scare us, we will be done with all of this sin in our world. Be ready for the things coming in our world, and know that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have a place being readied for us, and the world will not end as we know it until after his 1,000-year reign with us here, teaching us all the things that we need to know to be part of his kingdom. I sure do hope that this clears some of the confusion up that is circulating around and about in our world, about this great world, this beautiful world of ours, ending. Not in our lifetime. Just to add, being ready is to follow him. Follow his laws and his commandments. But most of all, keep his Sabbath day holy.